Blog Talk Radio.
Jackie, I want you more than human eyes to see. But you had shot killing, trying to make a killing. Thought about the dollar.
with me.
Don't be cool.
Records Radio. Yes, this music from Bobby Brown. Don't Be Cruel, the album, of course, the title album and the title song, of course, from 1988, the summer of 1988, June 1988 to be exact, when the album came out. As a matter of fact, you know, what's funny is the N.E. Heartbreak album, for all you New Editions fans, that came out around the same time, if I'm not mistaken, the same day. So you might want to check on it. Don't quote me on it. But, of course, that was Bobby Brown. Worldwide, went diamond and then some. I think it sold over 12 million copies. So, of course, and a lot of people thought that that was his first solo album. Actually, he did an album 2 years earlier called King of Stage right after, unfortunately, he got kicked out of New Edition. I ain't going to say unfortunately because he blew up and did what he did. And, of course, if you guys remember, each member of New Edition went on and did their solo thing. Of course, Ralph Tresvant went on and did what he did and blew up. Bell Biv DeVoe, of course, went almost five times platinum with their The Poison album. Johnny Gill, I think he went platinum, double platinum. Matter of fact, I think that was Johnny Gill's third album, the My 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 album. Well, Johnny Gill is the name of that album. But, of course, he did a couple of things with Stacey Ladislaw, and he had his debut album came out in 83. And a lot of people didn't know what to do with him because he's 15, 16 years old with this grown man voice. So they didn't really know how to market him. But, of course, at that time, I think, I want to say, he was 23 or 24 at the time that album came out in 90. And, of course, hey, he was a grown man doing his thing. And Johnny became Johnny. of course, you know Bobby. King of Stage was a great album, too. So a lot of people really slept on that. Girlfriend, great song. King of Stage, the title song from the album, just an amazing album. But, guys, if you get a chance to go on YouTube or check it out on Spotify. I think it's on Spotify, if I'm not mistaken. Just check out his album, King of Stage, man. It's very beautiful, beautiful album. If I'm not mistaken, produced by Larry Blackman from Cameo. A couple of other cats did some tracks, and just an amazing album. But anyway, I'm Don Fleming. Of course, every Thursday, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., I'm doing it old school, throwback Thursday night, playing classic soul, R&B, and funk, 70s, 80s, 90s, and every now and then I do some Beyond stuff, you know. But anyway, we got music on the way. Let's see, we got some Karen Wheeler. We got some D-Train on the way. And we got some M2May on the way. So I want to keep it, I want to start off a little smooth, man. One of my favorite albums from the Nice and Wild album from 1992, one of my all-time favorites. Of course, he's a friend of the show, none other than Mr. Chucky Booker. This is called Games. You guys keep it locked right here. Of course, it is Throwback Thursday night on Solar Records Radio. Keep it locked right here. artist. That is music from the lovely Miss Genovia Jeter. Of course, her and Glenn Jones. Glenn Jones and Genovia Jeter. Genovia Jeter and Glenn Jones, of course, husband and wife, been together for years. Of course, I love their banter with each other and everything. Of course, Glenn Jones is a friend of the show. But, of course, that was All of My Love from 1986, produced by Melissa Morgan. Classic Genovia Jeter there. Before that, I had to hook up a little bit of some Chucky Booker Games. Of course, that was from the Nice and Wild album. Of course, started off the block, the man, the myth, the legend himself. You know, before I mentioned, actually, I played two songs. Of course, I started the show with Bobby Brown, Don't Be Cruel. But I wanted to come in because we got so much music today. And we got so much to for the next, hour and 40 minutes left. So I just wanted to come in and say hello before we go get to some music. Of course, yeah, I do three music block every now and then, but every now and then I do two. So let's go ahead and keep this music going, man. I am having fun. Just got a call from a friend getting ready to maybe call and hang out. You never know. You never know how that goes. So let's go ahead and keep this music going. This is music from the group Groove Theory. From 1995, the summer of 95, this is called Tell Me. And you tell me if you like this, of course, that's the jam. You guys keep it locked, Solar Records Radio.
Tell me if you want me. to survive living in the light. Have to stay alive living in the light. Had to survive living in the light.
Hold the beat, stop the beat, drop the beat.
Get on up, 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 get
Radio music from Jodeci. Yes, that is a Get On Up. Of course, before that, I had to hook up a little, who did I play before that? Man, my mind's going, Karen Wheeler, Living in the Light from 1990. And, of course, started off the block 1995, the summer of 1995, music from Groove Theory, Tell Me. And, guys, tell me if you like the show. If you're on Facebook, make sure you tell a friend. Solar Records Radio, like the page. Tell a friend to like the page. Tell a friend's friend to like the page. You know how it goes. And also want to remind you, you can go to solarrecordsradio.com or royalpodsjr.com if you want to get some cool merchandise. Or want to support the show. We still have mugs and shirts and hats. And I think we still have masks because, my cousin just caught COVID. He's good. He's boosted. He's good. He just had like a little fever and whatnot. He could taste and smell. When I caught COVID, I couldn't taste and smell for like 5 days. So, but guys, make sure if you're out in public, please cover up. And I think we still have Solar Records Radio masks for those who are still practicing their health and keeping yourself going, keep doing what you're doing and keep yourself healthy and away from me because we're still technically in this pandemic. So, can't really get around that. No matter how hard you try, it's going to be years before, everyone decides to, take their shot or, this isn't about nobody, being anti-vaccinated. I'm talking about those who are getting the shots, taking the boosters. I got my booster. I did it. I went on and got it, got it out the way. I don't have any crazy tics and, I don't go around just shouting random stuff but I'm okay. But make sure you guys are okay. That's what I'm worried about because I want you guys to listen to the show and hang out with me every Thursday from 8 to 10 p.m. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful of you? You guys are just so amazing. Amazing people. I'm just saying. I'm just amazed. But anyway, keeping the music going, some Philly soul from the lovely Miss Jean Karn. Don't let it go to your head. 1978 classic. Keep it locked right here to Solar Records Radio.
Now that you know how I feel about you,
don't let it go to your head, no. Don't let it go to your head, no.
No, don't take advantage of my love.
daddy, but I don't understand. So I'm leaving.
I'm going away.
Solar Records Radio, of course, that is music from the lovely Miss Melba Moore. Of course, from 1983, well, actually 1984, Keeping My Lover Satisfied, produced by a friend of the show, Mr. Paul Lawrence. Oh, shout out to Melba Moore. She just got a Hollywood, got a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. So shout out to her for getting that taken care of. Shout out to Cat Williams for sponsoring it. Man, she's got a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, man. And I'd be remiss if I didn't bring my partner in here. Of course, I have Mr. Wardell Potts Jr. Man, great show earlier. Wow.
Amen, amen, and amen. God is good like that. Hey, congratulations to Melba Moore. What a great accomplishment. And thanks to Cat Williams for, you know, supporting that. That's about $40,000. That you have to put up for a star and to get a star in Hollywood, you know, as support for the star.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and then they go through everything to make sure that, you know, is this should we really be doing this? Because it's not just the money. You're not paying, you know, it's not like you're buying a star. You actually have to be a star to get a star, but somebody has to put the money up. And I just take my hats off to Cat Williams for doing that for her. That's a very beautiful thing. And I'm hoping the same thing for Leon Silvers. I think that we need the petition to get him a star on Hollywood Walk of Fame, because he hasn't gotten a Grammy or any of those things, awards yet. And we all know that he was an amazing producer. For everybody else that came up under him, like Babyface in L.A. and Jimmy Jam and
yes.
Jerry Lewis, they got theirs, and they learned from him. So it's just really
that's a great idea. That is a great idea. Because Leon, he's in that conversation when you talk about some of the greatest producers in music. Period. Not just soul music, R&B, whatever. Music. Period. Leon Silvers is, you know, and it kind of bugs me. I guess this is from my vantage point, from my opinion. He's kind of a footnote when you talk about the Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis's, and when you talk about the LAN Babyfaces and the Quincy Jones. Leon Silvers doesn't get that same, you know, that same reference in the conversation. And it really needs to be said. What all of you guys did at Solar Records was just amazing. You know, and,
well,
you know, when you talk about, go ahead.
I was just going to say, in our earlier conversation on the show earlier when we were talking to Jeffrey Daniels, he was just sharing that the UK is about to give them a lifetime achievement.
Yes,
award.
Yes. Shout out to that.
So that goes to show it's not just what we feel or what we're talking about. We're talking about all the way across the pond, they have loved Solar and the sound of Solar. And Leon was responsible for what's happening for Shalimar. I mean, we as musicians and writers were able to be a part of it, and so, but Leon was totally responsible for the music, and so, you know, that's why, just like they get one, I believe that we should even petition for him to get one over there as well, because that, even though Jeffrey said that we all are entitled to what's happening for them, that we all are a part of it. But Leon,
mm-hmm.
to me, he needs to be able to stand alone, because it wasn't just Shalimar. He produced so many artists with gold and platinum records. Like the Whispers never had a gold and platinum record until Leon produced them. Never. And they were like, whoa, they couldn't even believe it when Dick Griffey walked up on the stage and gave them their first gold album, and that was And the Beat Goes On. They were like in shock. They was like, whoa. And they had already had, what, 20-25 year career, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so, by the way, I just also want to give a shout out. Today is Jeffrey Daniels' birthday, and we celebrated his birthday earlier. Don Fleming, myself, Linda Carrier, and Jeffrey Daniels, and Raymond Lee Pound. We all from Raymond Lee Pounds is the drummer that played with Stevie Wonder on the Songs in the Key of Life album, and he played with James Brown.
Oh,
he played with everybody.
Mel, he
played with everybody. It's who he hasn't played with. It'd be easier to say. And so he also played on the Whisper stuff. Played on Lakeside stuff. So he has been around, and so we had a great conversation. So once again, happy, happy birthday to Jeffrey Daniels, and we're so grateful for, you know, it's been a nice journey for him, and he's still doing his thing, and we're so happy for him. He's the one that taught Michael Jackson how to do the backslide, Jackson turned it into. He turned it into the moonwalk, and so, you know, but Jeffrey's the one that taught him that, and so it's, you know, many years, and I'm happy for him and him and his daughter, because his daughter was born on his birthday. So happy birthday to both of them. And what a nice birthday gift, right?
I know, man. I know. Let me do the quick recap, of course, what you just heard. We talked about Melba Moore. We talked about the star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Of course, that was Keeping My Lover Satisfied from her Never Say Never album, 1983. Before that, I went in Wardell's stash on this one. All the way back, 1975, music from the late, great David Ruffin, Walk Away From Love. I love that song. Love it, love it, love it. And of course, started off, give you a little Philly soul, from the lovely Miss Jean Carn, Don't Let It Go To Your Head.
Philly Soul.
Philly Soul. Don't Let It Go To Your Head from Miss Jean Carn, 1978 classic.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Yo. Anyway. You know what? Shirley, she lives in Atlanta. She, shout out to Jean Carn and Shirley Jones. They live in Atlanta now, and they happen to have a Sunday brunch at some restaurant in Atlanta and whatnot. And it's cool that she posted. This was a couple of years back. Don't Let It Go To Your Head was playing in the overhead of the restaurant. And And they're just singing and you know, at the table jamming. And I think the waitress had come by, and, you know, you hear that song that's over your head. She's like, yeah, yeah. He's like, that's this young lady right here. And she's like, oh, my God. I was like, that is so cool. Mm. And she's singing, and Jean Carney, of course, she's singing. And it's one of those videos, those moments, whether on social media or whatever, it just makes you smile because it's just one of those things, you know. And I always say this, Wardell, you know, giving you your flowers while you're still here. And I think that was a moment that just kind of made me smile from ear to ear. There's another video, and I'm going to send that to you. It's Sheila E. She's randomly walking in the mall, and this guy walks up the steps, and he has, like, this American flag suit on, and he got a hat, and he says on his boombox he's playing The Glamorous Life, and she's looking at a camera saying, oh, this guy don't know me, he's playing my music, he doesn't even. And then all of a sudden he walks by and says, hey, what's up, Sheila E? And she had this frozen look on her face like, oh my God, that is so wild. And she thanks him, and it was so cute. It was a cute video. You know, she's in the mall just randomly walking, and some guy is coming up the steps playing Glamorous Life. And she's like, he looks so young. He probably don't even know. Hey, Sheila, you know, oh, my God. You know, those are great moments, man. Those great moments that you can capture on social media. I would love to have, going back to what you were saying, I would love to have, it would be nice to have a Leon Silvers star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. That would be freaking awesome. Some of my students used to say, that's freaking awesome.
The reason why it's awesome is because it should be there. There's no reason for it not to be there. Even the Silvers to me should be on there, you know. But you know, and Leon Silvers himself should be there as one of the greatest producers that ever lived. He was, he still is amazing. When I go over to his studio, it's just, he's the same guy. He's just stuck in there, and he can hear things that nobody else can hear. He has those amazing ears. Like, what? How do you hear that? Remember, I mean, if you listen to some of the interviews where Scotty talked about it, he just walked out of the studio because he couldn't, because Leon was telling him, you're just a little under, you could do it a little bit better. And Scotty's like, I don't hear it sound fine to me.
I tell you what, you go in there and you do it. I heard
exactly.
That story.
Yeah.
He's like, you go in there and do it. That's...
and then LaBelle and Nick and them went out there, come on, Scotty, you guys got to go back in there, man. This is a hit song, man. We can't walk away from this. Just go in there and take one for the group, man. Take one. and he went back in there, and he took it for the group, and bam, they got their first gold record. They were like, damn, we got to do that again.
I must bring this up. Anna B goes on, of course, you know, when we talk about bridging that generational gap, you know, 20 years even after the song came out, 21 years, you know, a newer generation is hearing it out of Grand Theft Auto. I remember when I played Grand Theft Auto, I heard the song since I was, you know, 6 years old. But it was one of those things, it's like, oh, my God. Because we were so, even as Generation Xers, you know, video games were 4-bit, 8-bit computers, you know, and it had the electronic music. It didn't have, you know, no one had, like, the licensing for the real music, or I don't even think that they had the technology for that. So by the time, you know, PlayStation came out or whatever, you think you would hear these electronic generic tunes? No, they're playing the actual song. I'm hearing the actual song on a video game. So even at 27, 28 years old, I'm still tripping. You know, I'm like, whoa, this is revolutionary to hear an actual song on a video game like that. That's from the radio or from when you guys cut it. So again, man, kids nowadays, I mean, they just don't understand, you know, growing up, you know, you always try to, you know, you give them that wisdom, especially like the millennials. And millennials, you know, I would say what, millennials are the, I think, 80 to, like, I think 2000 kids or whatever. And now that we're Generation Zers now, but a lot of those kids, the millennials, of course, I'm sure they heard of the Whispers and grew up on the Whispers in the 90s or at least even played video games in the 2000s. I think, I don't know, man, and I'm not going to say, oh, my generation is better, but it's just one of those things. It's just like, man, you just had to live it to experience it. And I was so glad to be born in the era that I was in, so I can be that 5-6-year-old soaking up music like a sponge and singing it. didn't know what I was singing, but it was just one of those. It's that capture moment that you hear on the radio. My grandmother had, and God rest her soul, my grandmother had this huge stereo. It was like in this big box. It was this box wood grain stereo that you would kind of open up like a deep freezer, and you put the record, or you, I think she had an 8-track in there. But anyway, she would play, you know, she would play all her, you know, the Roberta Flack records, the Aretha Franklin records, and my mother would play, you know, my uncle and mother would play, you know, the Whispers and Lakeside, and so I would hear all of that, you know, especially on a Saturday morning cleaning the house. So it's those memories. I mentioned this and I'm mentioning it again. It's a certain time, you know, you can listen to And the Beat Goes On, and it triggers you a moment in time, what you're doing when that song came out or when you would hear it as a young kid. It's kind of like that memory, what you're doing. Oh, I'm cleaning the house on a Saturday. You know, of course, you're a kid. You don't like cleaning. You don't like doing chores, but it's, you know, you're getting older, you appreciate it. And again, yeah, you know, going back to what you were saying, I don't want to get off too tangent and feel like I'm, you know, just running my mouth. But going back to what you were saying, you know, you think about myself and many, many, many other kids who grew up the way I did and probably give you those same type of conversations when it comes to Solar music, not just the Whispers and the Beat Goes On. It's Keep On Loving Me. It's a love thing. It's All the Way Live, Lakeside. You know, it's Dead Giveaway from Shalimar, or, you know, I Don't Want to Be the Last to Know, whatever. From this whole catalog, I Just Begun to Love You by Dynasty, Adventures in the Land of Music. I can go on. But someone, you can hear these same stories, and again, that correlates to, of course, Leon should have a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, and I'm a huge proponent of getting that done.
Amen to that.
I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to just run my mouth, but I just had to say it.
It's your show. Run your mouth. I'm just coming in just to hang out with you. Got about 51 minutes left in the show, and I just appreciate you, you know, sharing that's some insight and some wisdom. I also wanted to add that, you know, as far as, you know, your generation hearing, you know, And the Beat Goes On, outside of the video game, they also heard it on Will Smith, I'm Going to Miami. It's the same song.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You'd hear that. Yeah, the sampling and you know, when being in the hip hop generation, you hear it through the sampling. The only thing that really gets, you know, that I would say, not going to say negative, the only thing I have an indifference is the fact that I don't know. It's kind of that protective feeling because I know you now, and I know, and I've always had compassion for the older artists because that's a, you know, that's what I grew up listening to. But the fact that I want you guys to be compensated, you know, that was just the thing with me, you know, and the content. I always have a problem with, and again, I could care less if you want to get it, if you want, you know, a rap lyric to be misogynist or whatever and talk about women this way, but using your music as a sample, it always bugged me. Look, I'm not the perfect gentleman or whatever. I've had my moments. I'm not, you know, feel like I'm on a soapbox, but I just want, you know, I just want you guys to be taken care of in that aspect when it comes to rappers using your music and using that elements of your music as their sample, and then at the same time understanding, you know, the content, because I don't want to feel like you're tainting, they're tainting a legacy that you guys left, you know, or artists of that genre left, because, you know, you don't want to have a beautiful polished song with a background being sampled talking about women of this and this, I'd like to do this to her and this and this and this. No, come on. That's the only thing that bugs me. Again, it's all artistic at the end of the day. But, you know, having said that, you know, I just feel like we can be better and in our content, you know, as far as, you know, stimulating our mind. You can talk about, you know, making love to a woman or this, this, and this, but, you know, you don't have to say it. You know, you don't have to, you know, be, you know, show the vulgarity. You can take them on a trip, you know. And, hey, some women don't want to be taken on a trip. I get it. You know, that's just me. But again, but again, man, I, you know, it's to me, it's just all about the content. I love N.W.A. I bought that when I was 14. I bought Straight Outta Compton. I bought those tapes, not albums. I bought those cassette tapes. But now it's like, even as a 49-year-old, and again, I'm no better than anybody else, but this is just me. It's like, I can't even, like, I can listen to it, but I can't even, like, rap it anymore. You know, I know the lyrics, but I just can't rap it because the content. And I don't know, maybe it's just I'm getting older, and I cringe at cuss words on songs. That's just me. But I know I'm going off a little bit on that, but I just wanted to kind of let you know and bring it home and just understand, you know, my point is, if an artist, you know, Will Smith, I hope, you know, you got compensated for the Miami song. You know, I hope Will took care of you.
Well, Will don't have anything to do with my part, but as far as Will having something,
well, they're people,
to do with me, yeah, William Shelby, who's passed on now, his kids will receive the royalties. Hopefully, they'll getting their just due. I get paid for performance rights. So, far as writers. Yeah, writers' royalties and stuff. You know, that's William Shelby, Steve Shockley, and Leon Silvers. So hopefully, you know, they'll get compensated the way that they're supposed to get compensated.
Gotcha. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, hey, man, you learn something new every day. You're just a big old ball of wisdom, old man.
Well, wisdom and old go together.
we got about 46 minutes left of the show. Hey, you're in the system. You got some music for us.
Are you ready?
I'm ready, you bro.
Ready?
Today, the story we've been waiting for, the story of the record company that has put Detroit on the map all over the world.
Bye. couldn't dance. You didn't even want me around. And now I'm back to let you know I can really shake 'em down.
Do you love me?
Thank you. Come on, come on, come on, come on.
sweet is that? How sweet is that with the Motown thing?
That was like a mix, wasn't it? That's what you call mix.
That's right. That was my Motown mix. And what's up, Linda? Is in the house.
Linda!
From
my buddy. She's in the house.
Again. She is here.
Oh, I love it.
The first she was here earlier, the earlier show, and here she is on the late show. Linda, you... All right, so real quickly, I'm going to do a recap. Started out with Gladys
Knight. I begged her to come on.
In the Pips. Oh, yeah, and that was... I heard it through the grapevine, then we went to the concourse. Do you love me? Do you love me?
Dennis Edwards was in the group, by the way. He was a part of the Contours before he decided to go become part of the Temptations. So,
there
yeah,
you go. Let's get it on. Mr. Marvin Gaye. I went, then I had Stevie Wonder, Very Superstitious. Lord have mercy, I can't sing. And what else did I play?
My girl.
Yes, we ended up with My Girl. So that was a great Motown block on Solar Records Radio. I love that. You know, remember, Linda, we were all in the same building. Remember, they were just upstairs from us.
Yeah, I remember that. I didn't feel that. I mean, they weren't, you know, it's not like they were around all the time, so I didn't feel that. I had more of a connection with the older Solar building.
Oh, okay, and I had more of a connection with the newer one because I came later than you. Yeah, and so, and we were on the 9th floor and they were on the 11th, and it was just, I mean, constantly, you just see them, all these different stars going up and down, and I was new. I was new kid on the block. Linda's already been here for 900 years, and I get there.
You were around before that, though.
Well, 79. So, yeah, well, I saw the old building, and it was there, and then we moved, like, maybe a year afterwards, but in the process of the old building, I wasn't going there much. I didn't know anyone. I was with Leon all the time. And so when we would, sometimes we would pull up, you know, into the parking lot, and I just stay in the car, and he run upstairs and do whatever. Or
oh, really?
In the building.
Okay.
Yeah.
I see.
And that was on Doheny, I believe, right? Doheny.
I loved it over there. I remember having lunch with the Whispers every month at a cool restaurant down the street. So.
Right. That was Doheny and Santa Monica, and that was Beverly Hills. That was the tip of Beverly Hills. And it was beautiful. Mm-hmm. That building was really, I really actually liked the building better than the new offices had in the Motown building. I agree with you.
I didn't have a connection with that one.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. So that one, yeah. When it was on in the ninth floor, I was always there because William Shelby, the late William Shelby, used to work there. He was in the mail department. And the strangest
thing.
Yeah,
and you know what? I can see it now that you're talking about it. I can feel it some, but because we were in the studio a lot, I didn't really hang out there. I remember going there.
Okay. And right across the street from there, it was a big club. Do you remember the name of that club across the street from there? It was a concert hall.
No.
Okay.
Really? Mm-mm.
All right. Well, anyway, so Motown and Solar had always been connected. And so then, you know, they had the Funk Brothers and we had the Throwdown Brothers, you know. And so they were, you know, like it's always good to have somebody kind of show you the way. Like when earlier today when we had Raymond Lee Pounds on. I mean, for me, he was teaching me and didn't even know he was my teacher, but he did it in the right way. He also played on records that he, like with James Brown in the movie, and the drummer for James Brown was kind of frustrated because he was like, why is Raymond playing, you know, my gig?
Oh, wow.
And stuff.
Right.
But the reason why Raymond was playing his gig is because Raymond could read. And the other drummer couldn't read.
Yep,
so Raymond played on so many records because he could read. He could play and he could read. So it was a great thing, you know, just being able to just get that information in you because you never know where it's going to take you. And so I went to Settlement Music School, then I went to Norfolk State because I thought I knew I had to read because some of the best musicians in the world, they were reading. And I was like, that's what I want to do. That's what I want to do. Mm-hmm. But when I got to California and we went in the studio, I was looking for the lead sheet and Leon was like, play what you feel.
Exactly.
Like, play what I feel. Yeah, just play what you feel. Yeah, you know, give me this mm-hmm. two on the floor, getting it. And that next, you know, that, and you know, the sight reading just kind of, if you don't use it, you lose it. And so mm-hmm. it just went away. I just everything I did, I played what I feel, what I felt. And so
you had
You
had such a strong skill, though. It was all embodied by what you had learned and what you knew. And Leon's thing just opens another level of creativity, you know.
Yeah.
You had all that. So
yeah, you know, when you have somebody in anything that you do, you have someone that you respect and they're pushing you to a higher level, you know.
Right.
It makes you be the better part of you come out. And so, and as long as you're not a quitter, because some people can't handle the pressure. So,
right.
But, you know,
exactly.
And so I was just in that. I was so lucky to be in that situation with Leon and Linda. Earlier in the show, on Don's show, we were talking about something that was really important. And I think you will agree with us. Melvin Moore just got a star on the Hollywood and I said we need the petition for Leon Silvers to get a star. You know, I really believe he deserves it. Go ahead.
Totally. No, I'm just moaning. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. Agree with that. I totally agree with that. Leon was, you know, in the music business and the business of performance as a child, and he just had so many smarts about music, but on a level above that where he could run it, he could direct it, he understood how to make it, how to deal with a whole bunch of dimensions of music and performance all at the same time. And
mm-hmm.
when we had our experience, I mean, we were just beginning, but Leon had already been in the world for a while. And when he got that experience to produce everyone, my title for him is producer in chief at Solar, when he got that overwhelming job of having to write for and produce every single act in the company, and he was being bombarded outside the company, he actually did, I mean, Wardell and I have talked about this over time, he created a whole new movement of music
mm-hmm.
that affected music and performance from coast to coast. It was huge.
Mm-hmm.
It was something huge. I was a tiny, if immeasurable part of, so I'm not at all elevating myself. It really was a big deal to watch somebody have the opportunity
mm-hmm.
and handle it. He created a big movement from coast to coast, and everybody wanted a part of it. So him deserving a star, I am with you. There is no way he doesn't. He
absolutely
was that big.
I mean, he was responsible for that. Just think about that pressure. You know, you have this man who, which is Dick Griffey, who says, hey, I need you to produce my acts. I'm starting Solar, and I'm going to do a production deal with you, and I'm going to give you so many grand a month to make this happen. And Leon, yeah, he was still a young man, and he just went in it. What's that noise? You hear noise?
I hear it. I don't know.
I hear some. I don't know what that is. But anyway.
You playing something in the background.
No, but I hear
not
it's not
me.
I hear
not me.
Not me.
But anyway, all right, forget it. It's just me. So, but to have that pressure of coming up with, you know, hit after hit after hit after hit after hit, and I think that Leon just did Leon, and it just happened, and it just
he did, and we were exactly we were part of that, but we were inside of his huge bubble. It took a moment of us afterwards to get outside of it to truly appreciate what he was going through. And the demand and the pressure was beyond anything we were aware of at the time.
Mm-hmm.
We just did our thing but he had to manage everything that was thrown at him.
Everything.
That was thrown at, and everything was, everything musical, every act was thrown at him. So that was songs, that was writing the songs, producing, teaching them, producing it on them. That was no easy task. It was a intense situation.
So
it was intense.
So you just think about it. He went from okay, creating, writing a song with whoever it is, taking that, right, and then making it into a song. Okay, you got the groove, now you're getting the melody, and now you put the lyrics to it, and then you go in the studio with your team of work, you know, with Dynasty.
And you direct it.
Right, and you get them in there, and yeah, and a producer in music is like a director in the movies. And so you get them in the studio, and you get everybody doing their part. Now you got to make sure every single part, every single thing is as good as you can get it. And then you do all that, right? And after you do all that, you take your break for whatever it is, and then you get something to eat, you come back, you get your vocalists coming in, and then they start singing their parts. You got to produce each person, each part, because there was no computers back then. This is individual stuff. Everything is individual, and he had to make sure every drum beat was right. He had to make sure every bass line was right,
every
keyboard, everything in the song was right. Then after he gets all the vocals and stuff, then he sets up with the string arrangements, and then the orchestra comes, and then they sit there and they go and they play different things, and then he picks out what he thinks works best with the track, and then that part's done. Then they take the track. Before that, he edits it out the stuff he doesn't want in there, because once he gives it to the mixer, he wants to make sure that whatever he doesn't want isn't there. And so he takes it out, then he gives it to the mixer. Then the mixer takes it to Larrabee studio, and they started, Steve Hodge start mixing the stuff. Leon comes in, and I was with him sometime, and listen to what Steve Hodge has done. That Leon would make some adjustments, right? Make some of the adjustments, and then Steve will finish it up, and then he'll say, "What do you think?" And then it's done. Leon said, "Perfect." Then he would take that and take it over to Barry Gummins' studio and master it, well, right? So then he had to get
my favorite part was, I'm interrupting, just insert this and then go back to it. The few times I got to, I would stand behind him, and you know his physical gesture of how he moved, and we're all moving that way, and I'm behind them, and we're at Capitol Records listening to the final mix, and him okaying it or not. And, you know, generally it was okay by then. But go ahead, Wardell. That's all I want.
And then, okay. And so then after that part, he gets the master done. And then he has a meeting with Dick Griffey. He goes to Dick, and Dick listens to it. And either he likes it or he doesn't like it. If he likes it, cool, done. That's just one song. That's just one song. And we have to do that with all the songs on all these different groups. Constantly, all day long, we were in the studio. Leon was doing this for years straight. You know, he should be crazy, because that's a lot of work to put on an individual. That's a
it
lot of work.
Took,
mm-hmm.
And
it
he did that.
Time.
Go ahead, Linda.
I was just going to say, it deserves repeating that it took time for us to get away from that for a minute.
Right.
To truly respect how huge a responsibility, how huge a job it was.
Yes. And the best thing, I think, for Leon was when we went on the Solar Galaxy of Stars tour, then he was able to get away from that kind of pressure and just try and be able to enjoy his creations. And we all were out there, and so many artists would come to hear us perform, not just Dynasty, I'm talking about the whole Solar, come to hear us all perform. And Leon was the one that created the sound for the whole Solar Galaxy of Stars tour.
Exactly.
He created
exactly.
the music for every single artist. He produced Lakeside. He produced The Whispers. He produced Shalimar. He produced Dynasty. That was the whole Dynasty, Lakeside, Shalimar, and then The Whispers. That was the show.
Mm-hmm.
That was the lineup. Leon produced every single group. And it was just amazing to think about, this guy did all that, and then he was able to get a break. I was able to see him smile for a change, you know, have a good time on stage, and we get off and we laugh and having a good time. So that's why I say that we really need to petition for that brother to get, he worked his butt off, and he deserves it. He deserves it. And so I'm going to do everything in my power to push that. We have to. I just, you know, I think it's an injustice if he doesn't get on there. Anyway, my case. That's my case.
My man. That's all right there.
The history of what happened during that time from the late 70s onward. Needs to be consolidated. I mean, because honestly, the impact was larger than we can even convey now. I mean, it touched, I mean, every major artist in the United States was calling for him to do something on them, from Whitney Houston to Donny Osmond, to any group, to every soloist. I'm talking anybody. And
everybody wanted to have that sound. They wanted a piece of that.
It was, that's what we're saying. It was a big movement, and and everybody that was not part of that was in entertainment, was calling every day, wanting a meeting, wanting to discuss songs. Could you do a song on me? Could you do a project on me? And all of that was happening at the same time.
Absolutely.
And what I keep feeling is it took time for us to step outside of that experience a little bit to truly respect how huge a demand that was on a young man, on a young person. It was tremendous.
Absolutely. So if you ever hear anybody say anything other than Leon was absolutely amazing, he was the leader of the sound of Solar Records. He was always the leader. No one else took his spot. We all learned from him.
He began it.
And he was the leader by himself. He was the leader by himself. He did not need anyone else.
No.
In terms of his leadership, you know, when you're the chef, you use all the things that you have access to, and we were those things for him, right? But and he used us as he needed us to bake up whatever it was that he was making, and what a blessing it was for us to be able to be a part of that. But it was Leon and Leon alone that made that
happen.
Thank
you. That truly needs to be respected. That is absolutely the truth.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, whenever I'm on the show with you guys, I'm always painting that picture of when I was working with him, that my favorite seat was behind him and the engineer on the floor. I had a little pallet for myself. And I just wanted the quiet, and nobody came there. So the sofa was free for anybody else who wanted to sit. But I was on the floor, and to listen and hear and to pay attention to what he and the engineers were doing was really a cool thing. And it was tremendous. I mean, I even told about how he'd scare me sometimes if I thought I was silent, but I was like humming something, and he'd turn around and make me jump and go, "What was that?" And I go, "Oh, I'm sorry." And he goes, "No, what was it?" And I don't. And he'd say, "Tell the engineer, play it again for her, and sing what you were singing." I'd sing it, and he'd say, and so he'd then sing it, or he'd tell me to sing it for whichever musician was playing it, if it was a harmonic part or something like that. So it was a great place to learn. But it wasn't about interrupting. Wardell is absolutely right that this was truly, he created that sound. It's what he chose. Wardell's other analogy was perfect, of calling him a chef of it, because it was every ingredient he chose. That's true. That is an honest representation of what he did. That, all of that was on his shoulders.
Yep.
And I don't think he even felt it as pressure in a certain way. I mean, he understood the work of it, but I mean, he stayed lighter than you could imagine anybody staying. It was just his normal world. But it was, as Wardell said, every song, every group, every production, every master, every album then.
And then Dick would have him. Dick would have him to verify everybody else's stuff that we're, you know, producing and stuff. Well, you put your ear on this. Tell me what you think. What do you think? Do what I need. Is everything cool? You know, so the pressure was on him all the time. And so I remember, just real quick, we only got 7 minutes left in the show, but I remember. We used to say, "What is he doing at the Laker game?" We see him on. We're in the studio. We see him on TV. See him on TV sitting down there on the floor at the Laker game. Going, "What?" He said he was on his way. But you know, I gotta say, in his defense, he did what he had to do to survive the situation.
He
was not a communicator. That was not his forte. He did not communicate well at all. But he produced the hell out of some music.
And he lived in the studio. He communicated music, but as a communicator of emotions or any of that, no. But music, yeah, even to a vocalist, like, you know, whatever part he heard, and he would say what it was, and it would be about concentrating and getting that and going in and doing it. And if he could take it and say, you know, I like that tone, I like what you did at the end of that line, do that again in the chorus, in the hook or whatever. And, you know, so he would communicate excellently in music, but yes, outside of the music.
He's bad.
We
would go out to lunch. We would go in the studio, we'd go out to lunch, and then all of a sudden after we eat, he'd go on a different way. And then he turns and gets out, he said, I wanted to see this movie real quick.
What?
And we go, I was like, oh, okay, we're going to the movies now. Leon didn't communicate well at all. He just did. He was just always doing Leon. So, but anyway, guys, Don, thank you for letting us come on and hang
Man,
out with you tonight.
I am a sponge listening to all of this wisdom, man. I love it. I love
it's
when Linda comes on and she gives you these wonderful the anecdotes and things like that. It's just amazing, you know, to kind of vicariously, you know, live through that and kind of see it, vision it, And from my vantage point, I love it. And when you do it, Wardell, it's just, you know, you do it when you call me every day.
Mm-hmm.
So it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So,
exactly.
But no, I'm having fun again. Thank you so much, Linda, for hanging out. Yeah, I beg to all the listeners out there, Linda, come on, hang out with me. I'm lonely. But yeah,
thank you.
And it's all good. It's all good. And just boasting about the earlier show, I call it Wardell's Afternoon Drive, but it was an amazing show also. Jeffrey Daniels, you, Wardell, and Raymond, you know. I got a new Facebook friend, so. But it's all good, man.
It
He's got
warm.
A lot of wisdom.
It was very warm. I was lucky. I had a wonderful time. Thank you, guys.
All right, and so for anybody that's listening to the show that didn't get to hear the earlier show, I have Jeffrey Daniels, the conversation that we all had with Jeffrey Daniels earlier, and that'll be coming on right after Don's show in about a half an hour. And so tune in. I'm about to post it, and you can hear Jeffrey Daniels as we were saying happy birthday to him and just talking to him about, you know, all the great things that's going on in his life. And so, once again, I'm going to say happy birthday to Jeffrey, as I know he's sleeping. He's about 6 hours ahead of us. Or at least he should.
Yeah.
So, but anyway,
yeah.
Thank you, guys. Thanks, Don.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
It was a pleasure.
I'll see you again.
It's a pleasure, man. It is a pleasure. We've got to do it again. Make sure you tune in tomorrow for all the listeners kicking off a weekend celebrating the legacy of Solar. So make sure you tune in from 3 to 5. Going to close out a little Eugene Wilde. He's in the thumbnail from 1985. This is Don't Say No Tonight. Don Fleming, Wardell Potts Jr., Linda Carrier. I will see you guys tomorrow. Guys, thank you. Yay, we are out, y'all.
Thank you.
Y'all have a good one.
See you later.
Good night.
Bye.
Well, it's a little after 9. So like something's come up, cause you're like on my way, and I've got plans for you and I. So don't say no tonight. You know I'll make you feel twice this night. So don't say no tonight. Come to me, yeah.